You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for Monday, June 23rd, episode 3718 by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse world.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Well, actually, today it's going to be Ashley and Glenn because Jamie couldn't get a flight out yesterday from California. She was over at the Movement at Monty Roberts' place. Looks like she had a great time by the picture she posted. And Ashley's agreed to fill in as Jamie should be flying home this morning, hopefully. So she'll be back here on Wednesday to tell us all about the movement. I was getting texts over the weekend. Anybody who listened to Friday's show knows that she was having a little bit of imposter syndrome hanging out with all the important people there. And she was supposed to be doing a lot of different things, and she was feeling a lack of confidence, and apparently it all went very well, so as we thought it would. We had more confidence in her than she did.
It happens to the best of us, you know? But it really does.
Apparently she did just fine, and we'll hear all about that on Wednesday. Today, though, we have Emmy Speckens joining us from the Netherlands to explain her program called Equithink, and we have Auditor Diana is going to tell us why she put worm flooring and roofing in two of her horse trailers. That there is an auditor that really listens to us.
We love you, Diana.
Plus, AI is going to tell us the best breeds for beginners. So we'll get to that a little later. And then in the Auditor Post Show, we have a big announcement for Horses in the Morning that you're going to want to listen to, auditors. Jennifer's going to join us to talk about a product that people saw in the video that we posted in the auditor room. And she's going to explain that. Plus, we had a fun movie we watched over the weekend that we can recommend to everybody. So that's all coming up in the Auditor Post Show. Wow. Did you see the news about Dwayne Lucas?
I sure did.
Yeah, we heard about it first because myracehorse.com emailed everybody because he's one of the My Racehorse trainers of the horses that we all own. And he is not young. He's like almost 90, yeah. I think, isn't he?
Yeah.
But apparently he's been battling a severe infection and will not be returning to training. He's in hospice and he's going to be spending his remaining time with the family. His longtime assistant, Nicole, will assume day-to-day responsibilities. Apparently that was all planned and taken care of. And he's had this severe infection that's worsened and worsened, and he declined an aggressive treatment plan and preferred to return home and spend the remaining time with his wife and grandchildren and kids and stuff. So our best to the family there. You know, Dwayne Lucas got into Racing Hall of Fame in 1999. He's the four-time winner of the Kentucky Derby, five-time winner of the Kentucky Oaks. He trained 26 Eclipse Award champions and three that were crowned Horse of the Year.
Wow, what a legacy.
During his six-decade career, he amassed 4,967 wins, and his horses earned $301 million from 30,000 starts. So there's a career that has lasted a very long time. And
wow.
Is not one you heard bad things about along the way either.
Right. So
that's another thing I guess you can be quite proud of there.
I certainly, over 60 years, you have a good reputation in the horse world. That's incredible.
Well, our thoughts are with him and his family at this time. And it looks like you're going to have a new trainer for some of your horses out there that you all own with My Racehorse. Let's do some daily whinnies. Well, happy birthday to Cassidy Meyer. She's the only auditor birthday, but a very important one. So happy birthday, Cassidy.
Well, I would like to dedicate my daily whinny to a little boy and a little girl that are currently living inside host Joy Orr of Retired Racehorse Radio Show's tummy.
That was gender reveal over the weekend and kind of a wedding celebration. I think they had gotten married before, but she was in her wedding dress and everything. They had a wedding celebration. I think they kind of snuck off and got married. And this is, of course, the Pie Guy, which is how we affectionately refer to him. He does have a name, but I call him Pie Guy because his company runs a pie company and he keeps sending me these delectable pies. So you had the pie.
I did. Yeah, and that's right. It was fantastic. And I would also like to say on the record, I told Joy probably 3 or 4 weeks ago that she was going to have a boy and a girl. And
well, kind of gets it out of the way right away, right? You have one of each.
Well, except two girls, that's one wardrobe they could share.
That's true. Right? That is true. And I guess she already knew they weren't going to be identical. They can tell that?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. I wasn't sure they can tell that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just love being right. So that was, you know, also a moment to celebrate for myself. No, I'm kidding.
Happy for the both of them.
We're
both
so excited. Delightful.
I've met him several times and he's
just
kind of
good
guy,
people.
Yeah. I can sit around and just have a beer and dinner with, you know, they're just fun people. And Joy, you know, she wanted kids eventually. So I'm glad she's had the opportunity to do that now. And she says she's going to take like a month off the show and then be back. We'll see.
Yeah, that's what she told me. And I'm like, okay, babe.
You have one. Do you can imagine two? You know?
I cannot.
So let's go to our first guest. We're going to be heading to the Netherlands now and talking to Emmy Speckens. That is her name. And she has a thing that she calls Equithink.
Thank you so much for joining us, Emmy, all the way from the Netherlands. Where exactly are you located?
I'm located near Roermond in the south of the Netherlands.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I have to tell you, I found your product, came across my Facebook feed. So the algorithm's working.
good to hear.
And I had to have you on the show. You make these equine enrichment puzzles. And so, you know, it's like Jolly Ball times 100. Tell us a bit, what got you thinking about making these products?
Well, I have 4 ponies, 2 Shetland ponies and 2 Icelandics.
Oh,
and,
neat.
Yeah, they're really cool. But they really love training with me. And they live at home, so they're always calling me from, come on, train with us. And they really like the brain games, really figuring out what I want from them. I use positive reinforcement in my training. And I thought, oh, it would be so great if they were not constantly calling for me, but I could give them things to do by themselves, that they could, yeah, engage with things that are meaningful, that what they really like. So I started looking on the internet, but yeah, there were no toys or puzzles for horses like I thought I would like to have. So I asked my husband, who is an engineer, and I said, well, I would like to make have toys for them or puzzles, but yeah, they're not there. And then I started looking for dogs and for cats and for zoo animals. There are lots of enrichment toys. And I thought, well, let's make them ourselves. So we watched some videos from what they had. This one was from Great Apes, I think. Mm. And we really liked it. And that is what our spinner puzzle, how we thought that up. And it was not as easy as it seemed, because horses are quite strong. Uh-huh. So our first few puzzles that came off the wall very easily. we kept developing and chasing stuff. And yeah, now we have a few really nice puzzles that they can really play with that are durable enough to withstand horseplay.
I like it. Pun intended. They look beautifully made with real wood. And let's talk about the spinner toy. And this looks exactly like what your kids play with on their hands, like a little fidget spinner, but it's mounted on the wall. Do the treats go in the little balls there? How does that work? And how do you introduce it to your horse to encourage them to play with it? Because I know I was just riding a horse a few days ago who was spooking at her own fly mask.
Yeah, that's really nice from the spinner puzzle. That is the puzzle we always say when people want to start puzzling with our horses. Start with this one because it's very easy to introduce.
Okay.
The feet balls, you can get them out of the puzzle. And you can fill them. We don't use treats. We use a very low value food.
Okay.
Like hay pellets, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That they want to eat, but they don't get really excited about. So they keep thinking. And there's food inside and they smell it and they think, oh, I need that. Then it's harder for them to figure out how it works and they're more prone to use violence to get it out. And we don't want that. So we get the balls out of the puzzle when we introduce them. Put it in a big basket, put some food inside, some food around it. And then while the horses eat the food that's lying around, they notice that when they push against the balls, a little bit of food falls out. So when they discover that, then you can put the balls in with some food without food around it. And when you do that 4 or 5 sessions, they really start to understand how the balls work and they start loving them because then when you come with your ball with balls, they really think, yes, I know what to do. I know what's in there. I can do this and I'm going to do it. And when you then put the horse in front of a puzzle with the balls inside, they won't think about biting it or they will see those balls and they will think, I know what to do. And they will start to push them with their upper lip. And then it's, they also have a very nice, how do you say that? They feel very good about the puzzles already. So when the puzzle itself starts moving, they won't be as afraid because they already have, they already feel confident that they know what to do. And then it's very, very easy to teach them how to play with it.
I think my Hackney Pony would figure this out in about 1 second. I think he wouldn't have any trouble figuring this out at all. He would love this.
Yeah, some puzzles are really, really, really fast, and other ones they just need a bit more time. And then this way of introducing is a way to make sure that they don't start biting the puzzle.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So that's really nice.
Tell me about the other puzzle, the Crumble Tumble.
Oh, yeah, that was the second one we made, and it's a bit harder. It's a totally different design, but they still have to tumble with the puzzle. And then the food, you can fit it on the upside above. How do you say that? And then it has to tumble down over 4 plateaus with holes in it until it falls out underneath. So it is when they already know the spinner, it's really easy for them. You really notice when horses are know the spinner and then the puzzles that follow, they start to explore and they just use their lips and they're kind of gentle because they know I need to use my muzzle and not my teeth to figure out what they want from me.
Tell me about your horse university that's listed on your website.
Yeah, it's not open yet. But I discovered positive reinforcement training and learning theory, I think 9 years ago. And that was really what I had been looking for for all my horse life. Mm-hmm. And I think learning theory, when people would know more about that, it would be so much easier to handle horses. It's such important information and hardly any branch of horse activities teaches that, and that's just a shame. And especially when you start with puzzling with your horse and you want to help them to solve problems and to give them more skills, it's really nice to use positive reinforcement. So in my horse university, partly is to teach people how to use the puzzles and how to teach people the pre-limits, how do you say that? The skills, so the horse can puzzle. So stay nicely at one place, just calmly. Take food politely. Don't steal my food. Just stand there in a nice way and be calm around food. Mm. And partly to teach people about learning theory. I want to have some courses about that in it. So people will be more able to look at horse behavior, understand what they see and how they can influence it in, yeah, often in very easy ways. For example, when I'm cleaning my paddock, I have four ponies, like I told you. One is a young stallion, and he really likes to play fight. But I really don't feel comfortable when they're doing that too close around me. Mm-hmm. So what I started doing, I put a lot of mats on the ground all around my paddocks. And when the horses stood on them, I would reinforce it with just a hay pellet. I did that for a few weeks. And now when I clean my paddock, I have four horses that run to the nearest mat and just stand there politely waiting till I reinforce it. And I have to reinforce it. I have to reinforce, of course, but less and less. They have bigger and bigger duration. So yeah. I completely solved my problem with the play fighting behavior around me. And I have horses that are training themselves to stay on a mat with duration in a really nice and calm way. So and that sort of stuff, you can just get it out of the learning theory. And that is so convenient for everybody who has horses or other animals, even for humans.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I love that. And I would love any world where the horses would stand where they need to stand instead of messing with the muck bucket, messing with the pitchfork, trying to play with me, you know, like, that's just incredible how you can apply the theory to really any situation to get the horse to do what you want them to do. So we have the two puzzles. Where can folks find you? I know we have our website, equithink.nl, because remember, they are based in the Netherlands.
I would really like to tell you about a new puzzle we are developing.
Yes.
And that's almost ready. I'm going to test it in the coming weeks. And that is a horse radio. So that's
stop. How perfect.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's like a MP3 player for horses. And we want to give the horses more choice and control in their environment. So we thought horses like music. So let's give them something that they can operate on. So we made it's going to be quite small, 30 centimeters by 30 centimeters. And it's going to have four touch buttons. You can, one is play, stop, next, and repeat. And you can put in an MP3, how do you say that? A USB stick with music that you think your horse likes. Or maybe you can, stories you tell them.
Oh, yeah, podcast.
Or a podcast called Horses in the Morning, everything. Right? Yes.
Yes. And then they can choose if they want to listen to the music or want to stop it or want to do the next song or they want to hear the same song over and over all day. So we're really excited to see if they will use it and how they will use it.
Well, you'll have to come back on and tell us how it goes.
I want to see a video. Exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, we need video.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be very cool. We already tried it out a bit. We have made a nebulizer stable for one of our horses who has asthma. Mm-hmm. And they can also operate on it by pushing the touch button to put it on.
That's crazy.
So it's really cool because I used to nebulize him with a mask. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have that there too. But he has that saline solution that he can breathe in and it takes 10 minutes and then it's gone for him. And in the night, I also heard him cough. So I thought, oh, maybe I should get out of bed in the night and do it also. So my husband thought, well, we're going to do this a bit different. So he built me a big nebulizer unit and we made a stall. And now he lives there when it's warm weather and the air is dry. Yeah, he stands there. He can always leave and go in if he likes. It's an open stall. But he lives there for 8 hours a day at least. Because he really, it really helps him.
Right, it makes it
easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes him. So he can really choose to self-medicate in a way.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the other thing I'm hearing in this interview is that we all need an engineer horse husband. Yeah, he's very helpful.
Yeah, yeah, my wife is looking at this and already wants me to make a spinner. So I think I'll be printing out those directions here pretty soon for her horse. So go to equithink.nl. Now you need to do me one favor before you go. You need to say, thank you for listening to Horses in the Morning in Dutch. Can you say that?
I can. Dank jullie wel voor het luisteren naar Horses in the Morning.
Yay! Yay! Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Your horse's health deserves the highest standard of quality. That's why Nutramax, from the makers of Cosequin, maintains their own world-class manufacturing facilities in the United States, where they far exceed what is required of supplement companies. Nutramax works with top universities and researchers in their fields to make sure your horse has nothing but the highest quality supplements. With the mission of improving lives of people and their horses, each product is backed by more than 80 quality checks and guaranteed to meet label claims so you can purchase with confidence. With over 30 years behind the Cosequin name, you can rely on Cosequin products for when performance matters. Visit Cosequin.com to learn more.
Well, coming up next, we have one of our terrific auditors. I noticed she posted this in the auditor page, and I said, you got to come on and talk to us about this, because she has taken all the advice we have given about worm flooring and worm roofing and done it twice on trailers that she's had, and she's had it for a lot of years, so we can ask her how it held up and stuff. But I thought, well, this would just be fun to get her on to talk about. You know, we recommend products all the time, but when you actually get one of our listeners that has used them, then it's fun for us to find out, well, did they work? You know, so we're going to get Diana on, and she's going to tell us whether her worm products actually worked or not. Well, hi, Diana. Thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for speaking with me.
Now, you are in my old neck of the woods up outside of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So do you have a farm up there? Or are you bored, or you have horses? Tell us about it.
I do. I have a small farm just under 6 acres in near Blue Marsh Lake. And at the moment, I have 4 horses.
That's a very pretty area near Blue Marsh Lake, actually.
It is. Yeah. It's beautiful. We're very fortunate. I actually just got home from a ride there this morning, trying to beat the heat.
we're going to talk about your trailers. That's why I have you on. Yes. But I wanted to mention that Diana lives not too far, Ashley, from where we used to do our medieval feasts when we had the
acting
company.
It was so small world. I love it.
It was a restaurant called Stokesay Castle on the top of the mountain overlook Reading, Pennsylvania. And it had a big banquet hall, and we did our feasts in the big banquet hall. And you said it's still there, still operating as a restaurant.
It is.
That's 30 years later. That's a long time ago. It was right near, anybody that's been to Reading, Pennsylvania knows the pagoda. Is the pagoda still on the mountain?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. You see the pagoda when you're going up the mountain, and you go past the pagoda to get to Stokesay Castle. Wow, you're bringing back a lot of memories here, Diana. you know what the Stokesay Castle is really missing, though, is a king. It really needs a king. I need to head back there for a show. So you posted in the auditor room a couple of weeks ago about getting some worm roofing on one of your trailers. And then you also posted that you've got the flooring and the roofing on 2 trailers. You started this before we even started advertising this, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I just looked at my records before we started speaking, and I had the worm flooring installed. I have a 3-horse living quarters trailer, and then I have a 2-horse bumper pull trailer, and I had the worm flooring installed 5 years ago in June of 2020, and it has held up awesome. I love it.
Well, that's good, because you're probably the one that's had it the longest that we've talked to. And so you haven't had a problem with it coming off, or, you know, chunks of it coming out or any of that, even with the horses pawing or anything like that?
No, it is, like I said, it is still in basically the same condition as when it was installed. And I use both trailers a lot.
So you had it put in the second trailer then too?
Yes, I have it in both trailers.
Mm-hmm. What do you
use? And I use my 2-horse like 4 days a week, and my 3-horse, I'm an endurance rider. So my living quarters goes all up and down the East Coast from March until November.
I know one episode that you listen to every month for sure.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So you had it done in the second one. Do you use bedding on top when you do it? Do you use shavings or anything?
In my living quarters, if it's a longer trip, I do. But otherwise, I don't, because I just try to clean it out when I get to my location, if possible. And then as soon as I get home and as necessary, I hose it out.
Isn't that nice? You don't have to worry about the aluminum floor underneath and it never, never rotting.
Yes.
So nice.
Now, wait, I have a very important question here, because I am the girl and Glenn's the guy. I got to know what colors you went with, because I love all of the options.
I know. And I'm an endurance rider, so believe me, I am into color and matchy-matchy, but I actually just went with black.
Well, we love a practical queen.
Yes.
Now, you also had the roofs done. We've talked about the Seal and Chill in the last year. We've started talking about that. And anybody that's owned a camper, an RV, or a horse trailer knows that one of the biggest problems with them is they tend to leak around any place there's a hole. You know, whether it's for a vent or whatever, you get leaks. And unless you're up there repairing it and making sure that all the caulking's good and all that stuff and redoing it every couple of years, you're going to get a leak. And that's, you know, that's the main reason people do it. And also for heat. So tell us about yours. You had done them both?
I did. I had my living quarters trailer done a year and a half ago. And it was mainly because we did reseal everything ourselves when we purchased it. And when we used the same place that did the worm flooring, and then they started doing the Seal and Chill. I spoke with him, and also both my trailers happen to be black in color, which doesn't help with the heat.
Yeah.
We just decided that it was nicer to just have the entire roof sealed, hopefully make it cooler, and then not have to worry about getting up there and doing all the seams and the rivets and the everything that's on top of, you know, the air conditioner, the vents, the everything that's on top of that big trailer.
You know, and that's true whether you have a living quarters horse trailer, a regular horse trailer, or an RV or camper. They're all prone to that.
Yes.
I would say actually that the horse trailers are a little better, the roofs are a little better made, because usually they're aluminum and they're not that cheap stuff they put on top of RVs. But what have you noticed? Have you noticed it any cooler?
Yes, I do believe that it is cooler. I've noticed it in the living quarters part of the trailer, especially. I think that it is staying cooler in there, even, you know, before I turn my AC on, if I just have the windows open, and that it's not quite as warm. And I do monitor the temperature in the back of my trailers when I'm driving. And it's just starting to get hot here. The trailer was normally running anywhere up to 5 degrees hotter inside than the outside temperature. And now it's pretty much equal. It's whatever the temperature is outside, it's been running that inside the trailer, which is nice.
Wow. Okay.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah. And it's white, right? The sealant they put on top? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it is.
And do they say how long it should last?
I haven't been given an actual time frame. But like I said, I just like that it covers the entire trailer. Right. It isn't just covering the seams or whatever. I mean, the gentleman who put it on, he made sure that everything was cleaned and all old stuff was off and everything before he put the new stuff on. And my one trailer that it's been on for a year and a half, I was just up looking at it. I don't notice any issues with
cracking,
cracking, lifting, or anything. It looks very, very good up there.
And anybody that's had a trailer or a camper knows exactly what we're talking about if you've climbed around on the roof.
Yes. You know
exactly what we're talking about. Well, this is great. It's so nice when we get to hear, you know, verification of the commercials that we do. You know, it's from somebody that's used it for years and years and years, and that's very nice to hear. So, okay, well, that's wormflooring.com if you want to find a dealer near you. And for people in Pennsylvania in your area, who'd you use to get it done?
I use Shoemaker Custom Trailer in Pine Grove, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And tell us about you. Do you have a main endurance horse?
I do. I have a new horse, an 8-year-old Arabian. His barn name is Milo, and his registered name is Sans Marabon.
And are you doing 25s or 50s, or what are you doing?
I have done some 50s. I mostly do the 25s and 30s at this point.
Are there a lot of rides in your area? Do you have to drive away?
Yes.
Are there? Yeah.
No, we have quite a few rides in our area. I do both competitive trail and endurance. And during the summer, I'm gone pretty much every other weekend somewhere.
Well, that's fantastic. And is that how you found Horses in the Morning, was through the endurance show?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, through Karen.
And then I started listening to a lot of the other shows.
Well,
and it's I listen to them when I'm driving, which is what I really like, is gives me something very interesting to focus on when I'm in the truck for hours and hours.
Yeah, well, that's when I listen to podcasts, too. I can't listen to music anymore. I find it boring and I want to fall asleep. So yeah. I have to do a podcast anymore when I'm driving or I tend to get sleepy. Well, Diana,
agreed.
Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. If I ever get back up that way again, I'll look you up.
Okay, thank you so much, and have a great day.
Are you struggling to find a saddle you can adjust without having to wait for the saddle fitter? Or maybe you don't have access to a professional fitter nearby? Schleza has the solution with their VCFS line. That's Virtual Custom Fit System. The VCFS line features the innovative patented 3P gullet plate, allowing independent adjustment of tree width and angle, plus the center balance stirrup bar designed for optimal rider alignment. This system can be fit anytime and anywhere worldwide. Ride with unmatched freedom, performance, and convenience. The Schleza VCFS line, where cutting-edge innovation meets timeless craftsmanship. Ready to ride your best? Visit Schleza.com to learn more. That's Schleese.com. Well, we didn't do a question of first world problems today because we're only doing that once a month. And this morning I was reading, I came to this odd website that I've never been to before, but they had an article. It's a horsey blog website about the top 10 breeds of horses for beginners. And of course, they had number one as the American Quarter Horse. And then they had number two as the Arabian, which probably wouldn't be my first choice for beginners.
You're going to make all our Arabian auditors mad.
I'm not saying they're bad horses. I'm saying sometimes they can be a handful because they're, you know,
they're bred to be hot.
They're bred to be long distance hot horses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then number three on this list was thoroughbreds. And we all know how Jamie and I feel about beginners and thoroughbreds. Now, it did say, I give it credit, it did say under the description, maybe, you know, thoroughbreds aren't probably the best for beginners. I was like, well, then why'd you put it number three on the list? And they did say, if you find ex-retired OTTBs, maybe if you found thoroughbreds that have never raced and were just bred to be thoroughbreds, they would be a better horse for beginners. And I'm like, how many of those are around? It's like,
Did a real person write the article you're talking about?
Well, that's why I did what I did. So then I went and asked Gemini AI for the top breeds for beginners because I wanted to see what AI said and if it was better than this list that supposedly someone wrote. And actually, I got to say, did pretty well.
You know, I love Gemini so much.
We do use it all the time for quick research stuff, but this did pretty well. I got to tell you. So I'll do the top 10 from Gemini, and I think it was better than the top 10 from this list on this website I'm not going to name. So first was American Quarter Horse. I think we all agree with that.
You know, sure.
They're really good horses. They're sensible horses. There's a reason that they're the most popular horse breed in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second, I totally agree with, and there was a whole conversation about this in the auditor page from all our Morgan people who are always mad when Morgans don't get named. Well, it's number two on AEI's list for beginner horses. It said Morgans are intelligent, eager to please, and known for their willingness to work with their riders. So I think...
Yeah, great work ethic in those horses.
So there, Morgans get some love on this list. American Paint Horse? Yep, I mean... You know.
I mean, that's kind of a gimme, but okay.
Yeah. Appaloosa. I would have put it further down on the list, to be honest.
I don't want to offend anybody, but I agree, Glenn.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be top five.
That was really good at dumping people.
The ones that I have met and worked with throughout my riding career, 9 times out of 10 are cantankerous.
Yeah, I'm sure there's exceptions to that rule, but
of course,
that's just been our experience.
That's right.
I would have put, in place of Appaloosa, I would have put the next one higher, and that's Tennessee Walking Horse. First horse I ever rode was a Tennessee Walking Horse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jennifer's uncle had a Tennessee Walking Horse, and that was when I first met Jennifer, that was the only horse she felt that I wouldn't die on. So that's the one. And actually, you know, I liked riding that horse because it was so calm. All of them were trotting and having to stand up and all that. And I was just sitting there like smooth.
You're just cruising with your hair in the breeze, baby.
First time I rode a real horse that actually had a trot, that was a disaster. So I was like, I didn't want to do that again. Icelandic horse. I've never had personal experience with them, but everybody that rides them says they love them. So
But they're not exactly the easiest to get for a beginner.
Well, that is true. You're probably going to pay more.
Well, you get what you pay for.
Yep. The next one we've had experience with, and it's halflingers.
I love a halflinger.
They were very popular in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. The big breeders were Amish breeding halflingers, actually.
Remember those giant ones we saw at Equine Affair?
Yes, they were huge.
Oh, my God.
Usually they're in the 14 hand range, but 13 to
these
14
ones
hands.
Were like... What would you say? Like 15.2?
Yeah.
I mean, they were huge. I thought they were quarter horses at first glance. Huge. But
they're very good with beginners. They're great for driving or riding. I mean, they're pretty good. They're very stocky. They're like a draft breed, and they kind of have more of the head of the draft breed.
When I did Pony Club, we saw a lot of halflingers doing, you know, the various Pony Club disciplines, whether it's eventing or gymkhana.
There's a reason for that.
Yep.
Because they were really good with kids and beginners.
Mm-hmm.
Probably better than number 8 on this list, which is Welsh ponies and cubs. And, you know, they are good ponies. Obviously, they're the most popular ponies out there.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, they're ponies.
This was my first pony. She was a Welsh Arab cross.
Oh, how'd that go?
Huh. Well, let's just say that the right side of my rib cage flares out from a fall I took when I was 4.
I broke mine too, right in the middle of the ribs, and mine sticks out too. Does it still hurt to this day? Like if I touch it, it hurts.
No, but it, you know, I always look for a silver lining, and because my ribs go out, it kind of makes me look skinnier. So thank you, Dixie. Thank you.
I think everybody has a Welsh pony or cob story. They should be on the list, I guess, because most kids
end up... She certainly taught me how to ride.
Well, that's it. You learn how to ride, for sure. I love that the draft horses got some love on this list. They had the Clydesdale on there, or draft crosses of any kind.
I think a draft cross is a solid first horse choice.
And they had Clydesdale cross with lighter breed like quarter horse. That would make a really, really cool horse. You know, I don't have much experience with the Clydesdales. We dealt with mostly Percherons is what I dealt with. We owned Percherons, but we also, the Belgians, we had some experience with Belgians and things too. I never Clydesdales for some reason. I don't know why, but the Percherons, I mean, Jennifer did, we had an 18-2 hand Percheron that weighed over a ton. And she taught 5-year-olds riding lessons on that horse.
Oh, I believe it.
Because it was just the nicest horse we had.
Just a gentle giant, you know? Plus, they really can't go that fast. So if they take off, you can
catch
actually,
them. That horse's trot was smooth. Was really,
really?
Smooth.
Well,
yeah. Now, Canada.
A Percheron, I believe it. Because the, you know, ballerinas used to have to dance on their back. So. Yep. Better be smooth.
Yeah, but Canter, different story. Not quite as smooth. But she loved Canter in that horse. And had the feet were so enormous.
Oh, huge. That would be the only thing with drafts that I would, you know, worn a new person
plus
about.
Plus, you really had to take two girths and put them together to have one that fit anything.
That is wild.
You had to have custom-made bridles. Fortunately, we live in Lancaster County, which it's known for draft horses, right? So we were able to get bridles and stuff from the Amish, but we had to have them made because his head was so big. He did step on my toe once, and I felt it for like a month.
Oh, my gosh. You're lucky you kept the toe.
Well, they are very careful about not stepping on it. He never even knew he stepped on it. They don't know. And then the last one on the list was Missouri Foxtrotter. So I agree with that too. Any one of the, even like, well, then Jennifer would not say hers should be for beginners after her weekend.
Well, James is a special boy.
James didn't do so well on the ride the other day. She had to get off two or three times because James was having complete meltdowns. So,
James,
bicycles are still his thing. He cannot. For some reason, bikes, we've ridden my bike. We keep bike practice.
Well, haven't you been like leaving it out in the field?
Oh, we've been doing all kinds of things. I ride by him in the field. Jennifer, stands with him. We've done everything. And two spandex riders came flying up on him. And she asked him to slow down and they said no. They said no and kept going. And
I hope they fell off.
James said,
I would have thrown a stick in their spoke.
Yeah, they actually
they're lucky
said,
I wasn't there.
We live in an equestrian neighborhood. They're riding in an equestrian neighborhood. And I don't know how they ride on these sand roads anyway with their skinny tires, because I ride my fat tires, I almost fall over. I don't know how they do it. But anyway, and then he had a couple more things that along the ride that didn't. Fortunately, she was riding with someone and that helped. But yeah, James had baby moments. And Jennifer stuck it, though. She still can stick it. So she didn't come off. Apparently, there was a couple
calls.
180s that were really fast. And a couple times he ducked out. So, which is the one that really catches you, right? When they duck out from underneath you.
Yep.
A lot of times you land on your feet that way, but it's still, he's apparently
it gets
quick.
Your heart rate up.
He's quick at that. Yeah. So I don't think she'd recommend the Kentucky Mountain Saddle Horse. That's 4 years old for beginners. Maybe a 10-year-old would be a better bet there.
Maybe a thoroughbred that's never been raced. The other list at.
Well, Ashley, thanks again for filling in. We really appreciate it. Where can people find your shows?
Oh, of course, here on Horses in the Morning on the Quarter Horse Podcast, and also over at Sleep Stories for Equestrians when you need help falling asleep.
Yay. And Jamie will be back on Wednesday. Tomorrow is a dark day for us. We don't have a show for you tomorrow. Am I right about that? Yes. Yes, I'm right about that. Tomorrow is a dark day. It's the fourth. Believe it or not, it's the fourth Tuesday of the month already. Can you believe that?
No, I don't understand how.
I don't either.
My son is turning one in like 2 weeks.
I don't understand either. So that's it for today's episode. We really appreciate you being here. And as I said, Jamie will be back. I want to leave with a good news story because, the world's interesting right now. So I'll leave you with a good news story. Hollywood Studios at Disney World. There was a whole group of 17-year-olds there, and a doctor was on vacation with his family at Hollywood Studios, and he was walking along, actually kind of running along to get to a ride, and he spotted a group of girls crying, and then he noticed that there was a girl on the ground not moving. So he immediately went over, saw that she wasn't breathing, and started chest compressions while his son went to get a defibrillator from the staff. He actually shocked her twice before she regained consciousness. The EMTs eventually arrived and took her to the hospital. She apparently coded twice on the way there and a third time in the emergency room. They revived her every time. She was diagnosed with a life-threatening heart condition. She had a pacemaker implanted and is fine now.
Oh, my gosh.
But if it hadn't been for the doctor who was visiting Hollywood Studios with his family, she probably wouldn't be. So that was that's my good news story of the day. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday.